Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And Jan, it's October 14th. We are in the middle of the month already.
No way.
Yes, and we will be out here. We're just taking a break and coming out here to you, but we're going to be out at the Home and Garden Show at the Downtown Convention Center for the remainder of the weekend. So you still have time if you're out and about to go visit the Master Gardeners and their educational booth. Ask them any kind of gardening questions. They'll be there to answer all your questions, and they'll also have an activity area for your children. So it's definitely a family-friendly event. So if you're in and around downtown, please stop by and say hello to the Master Gardener booth at the Home and Garden Expo.
For sure. And we've got some new Master Gardeners that are going to be doing some presentations on our stage.
Most definitely. We have fairy gardens.
Yes, that's what came to my mind.
Yeah, container gardens. And we also have a lot of other exciting demonstrations. I think we also have our rain barrel that hasn't been raffled off as of yet. So there's still time to purchase your tickets to support the Master Gardeners. And if you can't make it out there this weekend, we also have the upcoming Sun Country Landscape Conference. And that's spearheaded by the West Texas Urban Forestry Council. And they're a nonprofit group here looking to educate folks about urban trees and the importance of having tree canopy in our region. So if you want to support the West Texas Urban Forestry Council, please look at attending the Sun Country Landscape Conference. And that's going to be held October 26th and 27th at the Tech H2O Center, the El Paso Water Learning Resource Center. Registration is available online at WTUFC.org. And the price for the 2-day conference is $75. It includes all your materials as well as lunch. So if you want to learn more about trees, landscaping, the big strides that we're doing in green infrastructure, please go out there and learn more all you can by supporting the Sun Country Landscape Conference.
It is so valuable. I have to admit that trees is probably one of my weaker areas in master gardening and tree identification. I can't tell you how many times I've misidentified a tree, but that exposure to that and familiarity about the different trees and the natives that work well here in our neck of the woods is very important. And one of the most frequently ask questions on our help desk is, you know, what kind of trees should I plant? And so it does make a big difference. And the folks from the Forest Council are just awesome, very, very knowledgeable. And I know they always speak to us with our Master Gardener training and stuff. And it's an extremely important thing to, you know, when we talk all the time about xeriscape versus xeriscape, our trees are one of the biggest and most important components of that landscape. And, you know, for reducing utility bills and as you say, having that green canopy throughout the city, it makes a big, big difference. So it's a very valuable conference to attend.
A couple of years ago, there's a big study done in four areas in the Southwest, and El Paso was included in that. And it was El Paso and Phoenix and Las Cruces. And one of the things that was found about that was that we do have a smaller area of tree canopy for a city of our size. And believe it or not, they did actually contain the Italian cypress as a tree and the Mexican fan palm because it was designated as a tree canopy. But we know that that does not add our beneficial shade that we need, especially during our summer times. And you know, it's not just a matter of having large trees in communal areas or in large areas, but also it does really pay off when we have our good shade trees in our homes. It really does reduce the amount of energy that we waste. It also adds a lot of nice recreation area for us to be able to sit outside. We're very fortunate to be able to go outside and sit outside
year
round. We don't have those issues with humidity that other places in this country have. So definitely there's a lot of benefits on that. And you can go on as far as you'd like to look at, you know, air quality, but it's just overall quality of life, I think, is what trees bring to the table.
And I think another really important piece you talked about, you know, as far as saving money and so forth and so on, we also, when we study and get to know our native trees, then we're also conserving water. And that is so important because, you know, you know, we go to the refrigerator and grab a bottle of water or whatever. We turn the hose on and take our showers and stuff. We don't stop and think about what it's going to be like on down the line, because water is such a precious commodity. And I think El Paso's done a phenomenal job along those lines of conserving water. I think we're probably at the top of the chart throughout the state. And certainly out at Tech 2O, going to the conference, just being out at Tech 2O is worth it. That is a wonderful facility. And if you've not had the opportunity, that's another real benefit of going out to that conference. And, you know, super instructors, and gosh, if they feed us, then why not?
Right.
Guess who likes to eat?
Right. So make sure that you visit the West Texas Urban Forestry page for more information on tree care, tree planting, as well as to register at the conference. And then that's at WTUFC.org.
Absolutely.
Well, Jan, it's not just about trees and shrubs in the fall. It's also about a time to still scout for some insects. Some of them, you know, it depends on the weather. They come in early and then they take off for cooler temperatures, mm-hmm. but then now they're back. So
they are.
Right.
Boo.
So you want to make sure that as the weather cools down and you start off in your house plants, you want to make sure that you don't overwater them. Either you're going to have cooler temperatures that are buffered by either your AC not running as often, so your plants are not going to be able to, they're not going to transpire as much or use a lot of water.
Exactly.
And we know that standing water is detrimental to houseplants in general.
Well, it is. And I think that overall, people say, well, gosh, I've got this plant and the leaves are all brown and so forth. And I ask them, well, how often are you watering? Well, I'm watering them every day. And I'm going, oh, maybe not.
Right.
I truly believe that as many plants die from overwatering as underwatering. So you do need to really be careful about that. And a great little tip for figuring out whether your plant has enough water, enough hydration, whether you're inside or out. We tend to look at the top of the plant, Denise, mm-hmm. and we say, oh, that soil is dry. And it very well may be on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But what matters is what's going on down around the root ball. And when we overwater, of course, things rot. Take a number two pencil and push it down in the pot. If you pull it out and it's completely dry, there's no soil or dampness, then yes, you probably need to water.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got some little muddy soil that comes out or that pencil is damp, then you've still got water down inside the plant where the root ball is. And it's a great tool, inexpensive, and it really does help. And of course, you can use water meters as well.
Right. And one of the little culprits of houseplants are going to be fungus gnats.
Yes.
And I know sometimes we have an outbreak of those. And those fungus gnats like to eat the decomposing organic matter. And they also like those really warm and saturated soils, mm-hmm. as well. So don't leave your plants and don't leave your pots sitting in water in the saucer. Water them thoroughly, then throw out that saucer water. And then that way you don't have a little nice place for those fungus gnats to be able to breed and to just reinfest your entire living area.
Exactly.
That can be bothersome and annoying to begin with. And also outside, if you're looking at growing any kind of vegetable garden, you'll also see some pests on our coal crops.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a photo the other day from a client, and it said that, you know, it asked me to identify what he had growing on broccoli. Well, it was a cabbage lopper on there, and, you know, we were talking about ways to be able to control that. And one of the most easiest ways is to be able to use a BT. It's a very safe pesticide, if you will, especially when you talk about edible crops. And the most important thing on that is to be able to read the label and identify exactly which pest you're trying to control. And then you can spray that accordingly. The last piece of information that you need on that is to be able to read the label to make sure that you are in that free zone when it talks about days to harvest.
Before harvest, yes.
So you don't want to spray that if your plants are too close to being, mm-hmm. harvested. You want to allow enough time for that pesticide to be able to break down and not cause any issues on your edible crops.
Well, and we've been talking all summer about mosquitoes, and we still We still have some. I think it's been a rough year for mosquitoes. I mean, not for the mosquitoes, but for us.
Right.
And so it's still important with these later rains that we've had that you make sure that you get that standing water. Put it on your yard. Make sure that that water is not standing around. And with the BT, the I think I can say the word. I think it's called Bacillus thuringiensis. Uh-huh. It's a big word,
right. Like
mayonnaise. But they're great because you can buy it in a pellet form as well, and it's great for the your mosquitoes. And also they sell them in a dunk form as well, little donut looking things, and it really does work.
I have to just mention that the species of mosquitoes that do transmit both Zika and West Nile also like to harbor around shallow areas, shallow bodies of water. And by that, I mean, you know, inside of tires or inside little containers or pots that are just in your garden. So you want to make sure that we don't give them a habitat to be able to breed. And that's just a overall health concern. It's not so much aesthetics for your garden. It's just an overall health thing to be able to do. So make sure that you go out there and walk your garden for that. But yes, you did mention slugs, and we had a caller call in after our live show. We had to take his call after the live show, but he had a question because he had some interesting slugs in his garden.
He did, and I felt so badly for him because they had had really great crops, and these things just chomp away on the bottom of things, and it's like, my plant is gone. Share your beer with them. You can put out a dish of beer, and they're attracted to the yeast, and then they crawl in and
drown. Yeah.
Hey, what a way to go. But still, you know, some of those things work. And then there's also products that are out on the market, you know, slug bait and so forth and so on. But like Denise said, with the BT, with the slug bait, whatever you are using, folks, it is imperative that you follow the directions on the jar. More is not better. And know what you're dealing with, know what your pests are, because most pests, the vast majority of what we call pests in our garden, are the good guys. And so you have to know the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. And when you go to the home show this weekend, you can we have information on who those fellows are.
Definitely. And, you know, when we do practice our integrated pest management, or IPM for short, the last level of that is chemical control. So we do recommend that you do pluck off any kind of insect, or maybe change your practices a little bit to just not be conducive to that, encouraging those pests to populate and to breed. That's really where that bug and the slug and the beer come into effect, because I don't want to be plucking off slugs off the soil surface. I mean, that's kind of gross.
They're gross.
You know, so if you just, I like to put just a shallow pan of a paper plate kind of just wedged onto the soil surface, just low enough so the slugs don't have to climb over it, but just go through it. And then that way you can collect them, throw them in a can, and toss them into the trash can.
Right.
And that's a really way to be able to round up these pests and remove them from the garden area, so you don't have to be able to worry about them breeding. And before we go, we want to make sure that you know that your plant of the week is garlic.
Yes.
So that's going to be a long-standing crop for the fall. It'll be into your garden into May. So it's a great way to be able to green up an area that otherwise would be fallow throughout the wintertime.
Yes.
So garlic is going to be your plant of the week. And we are almost out of time, and we want to thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.